Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, everyone. Welcome back to Ellen Foundation's Unheard Voices. I'm your host, Pam Price. I'm really, really, really excited about this upcoming series in which we're actually starting today. And it's all about the ladies. And what this is that Ellen Foundation is preparing for its annual women's conference. And this year it falls on August 15th. And what I love about this conference is that we pour into ladies, we pour into their needs by sharing words of empowerment, words of encouragement, and just we just let the Lord just lead the event. And so over the next few sessions, you'll be hearing from our speakers, having time to call in and talk to them. So please join the conversation. You can dial in at 914-219-0892. Again, 914-219-0892. So today my guest is my co-host. That's what I call him. My co-host today is Evangelist Patricia Fowler. She does so much in our community. She's an advocate for domestic violence survivors, and she herself is a survivor. And I'm truly, truly excited to hear what God is doing for her and through her to help provide for women who, or not just women, but families who are in this situation and who are need help on guidance on how to get out. And once they get out, what's next, where to go? And so I thank her for joining, taking time out on her Sunday afternoon. So welcome to the show, Evangelist.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Thank you, thank you. So you know, domestic violence, especially during COVID, has been on the rise, and it's been, usually the last I checked the numbers right before COVID set in, it was the numbers were one out of every four were domestic violence survivors. But what we found is that once COVID and the shutdown went into place, that COVID cases globally had increased by 243 million women and girls between the ages of 15 and 49. And the reason that number increased that much is because, there were so many frustrations due to COVID. There was no work. There was no school, no food, there was a lack of resources. And, going to work and going to school was a way of escape for these victims. And because they were home, they couldn't escape. So, of course, through that, the cases have soared. So we're going to jump back, and please introduce yourself and let's go into, if you don't mind, sharing your story about, just how you came out of domestic violence and what you do. So I'm going to let you jump in and start.
Okay. My name is Evangelist Patricia Fowler. I am the founder of Pure Heart Ministries. It initially started as a singles ministry at my church, but then it grew into just
Pure Heart Ministries because other things were involved, such as mentoring, advocacy. I'm the COO of the Domestic Violence Rally for Virginia. I'm a mentor for women in Jessup Prison. I'm a certified domestic violence advocate, a mother, a grandmother. And so how I got into domestic violence is that I married young. I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. It wasn't God sent. And during that time, I endured physical, verbal, emotional abuse. And I stayed in it for a while, some years, because I had small children. And then I had been praying to get out. I didn't know how. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know about any 1-800 numbers or anything like that. And one day, God just gave me the opportunity to get away. So I took that opportunity. I took my kids, and I left and left everything behind and went to stay with my mom so I can start my life over. So in mm-hmm. doing that, it took me some years to heal. I had to go through counseling. I went through several recovery groups that was at the church I was a member of at the time. And then over the last 5 years is where I started talking about my story. That's what got me started in 2018. I wrote my first book called Strength in Her Struggles. And in that, and the book is just what it says, it talks about struggles I went through that God brought me out of. And that started me talking about domestic violence. And then I got to the point where I said, I need to help people. I want to help women. I want to help young girls who don't know where to go, who don't know who to call, who don't know that they are worth more than that, who don't know you don't have to tolerate this, because I didn't know when I was going through that I didn't have to take it just because he was my husband. I thought from what I was told.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought I had to just deal with it because it was my husband. But the devil is a liar because that wasn't true. So what I vowed to do is help people as much as I can, and that consists of whether in writing books to make them informed, in mentoring, in counseling them. I'm a licensed and ordained evangelist, so I have taken counseling. So in any of those ways, in hosting workshops and teachings and preachings, I want to give back. And I always have this saying, if I can reach one, then God is pleased. And I just continue to do that when you do stuff and sometimes you feel like it's not being effective or it's not working, you have to remember, why are you doing this? I'm not doing it for me because I've been out. I'm healed. I'm whole, I forgave, I was forgiven, and I've moved on. Now it's time for me to help somebody else get to where I am today. And it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. For me, just speaking over the last 5 years, I have been out for over 20 years. But it takes time. You can't just leave one day and then it's all over. And that's what people don't understand. It's not that simple. So during the meantime, right now, while we're
I'm sorry. Before you catch you before you moved on to your next thought, when you were talking about getting out, let me just ask, when you got out, what was your plan? How did you plan to get out? Because what I've always shared, and you can confirm, is that for survivors who are looking to get out, that it is very, very important for them to have a plan. And because you don't want to just leave and not have a plan, especially when you have babies, because then that leads to homelessness and a whole other host of things, which will in turn, have you return back into that situation because you feel that you're in a worse situation. How did you come up with a plan to leave? And once you got that plan, how did you, what were your next steps once that plan was into place? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Back then, I really didn't think in my mind that I had a plan. The only thing I knew to do was to go to my mother. That was the only thing. And even at the time, my mother didn't know what I was going through. I never told her until after I had left him. She did not know. She did not know. My family didn't know. And that's in one of my new books that's coming out, My Secret Life. So what I did was, the only thing I knew that I could do is go to my mother. And so I went to her and I asked, can me and the boys stay here? I have three sons and one daughter. My daughter was already staying with my mom. So she said yes. So I just left. Like I said, I left everything behind. So my plan was to get another place, of course, for me and my kids, get back on my feet. I was working, so I had a decent job. I was working. But even in that, I still couldn't tell him at the time that I didn't want to be with him or it was over. I just told him I needed space. And if you really think about it, that doesn't even make sense. It didn't make sense back then, but when, you know, hindsight is 20/20. So my plan was to get a new place, you know, get myself situated, get to a place of stability for me and my children. And that's very important because a lot of times you can't just leave. And the statistics say it takes a woman or man 7 times to attempt to leave before they actually leave. It takes them 7 times. Now, there was a time that I wanted to in my life because I just didn't want to deal with it. But wow. I had those little faces looking at me that I had to think about. So my children and God is what really kept me going to want to live and then to want to be better for them. Because I'm saying if I'm gone, who's going to take care of them?
Right.
You know, so they were my main focus. I mean, I didn't have any money saved or anything like that. But it's important to have a plan because you need to have money. You need to have important documents. You know, if kids are in school, you need to have medical records. You need to have all those type of things. You need to get a P.O. box where you can get your mail. And people just don't know about these things. And I feel like this is something that, because I've been there, done that, I know about it, I understand it, I want to make sure that other women, young girls, women, and men understand it. You can't, it's not just simple for you to tell somebody, well, girl, just leave him. It's not that simple when you have 3 little kids. Who is going to push you up?
Right.
Who is going to provide for you financially?
And I'm glad you mentioned that because And I shared this story. This is actually how I became so invested in domestic violence. And this helped me in healing from the pain myself. My best friend, my son's godmother was a victim. And it's funny that through our conversations, and this was so long ago. I mean, our kids were little. We're talking 4 and 5 years old. So that's, you know, 30 plus years ago where people, where this conversation truly, truly was never had. It was just, oh, they just going through their stuff. And what I found to be a problem was that people of color always, you know, tell people what goes on in the house stays in the home. You know, you were
exactly.
not allowed to share. So my friend, she would come and she would make little comments about things that were happening and how he was treating her. And there was one time they decided they were going out and wanted to celebrate an anniversary, and he ended up taking her to this, and I'm just going to be honest with you, to this whore hotel. And she was just so hurt by it, but she didn't want to leave because she didn't want to open up that door to where the abuse was going to start. And I remember at one time it had gotten really bad, and she had come to our home, and she wanted help, and we couldn't help her because, again, like I said, you know, 30 years ago, people didn't know what this was. People just thought that this was a norm, and I had to turn her away because we couldn't allow that stuff into our home. And once I turned her away, it was very hard for me to find her after the fact.
Mm.
And what's important that I must say is that if you have a suspicion that a friend or a family member is involved in a domestic violence situation or is going through something and where they need help, trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was afraid
exactly.
to trust mine. And then also what we also need to be aware of is that, you know, even though, you know, you're a survivor, your family members are a survivor, that anyone that was involved in that situation became a survivor with you because they've
yeah.
walked through the pain and the hurts and the things. So because of that, I had to learn to heal myself from the things that she went through. And
mm-hmm.
and this is also something which people need to be aware of, is that especially when your hands are tied and you can't do anything, you as an outsider who knows all this stuff that's going on now takes on the guilt.
Right.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. So
yeah.
it's not yet. Yeah, so you become second and third hand removed. So anyone that's involved in helping a survivor definitely needs to seek help and talk about it, and because people need to get healed. And the only way people get healed is to talk about it and then turn around and help others. That's
right.
my piece,
Correct.
And I'm holding on to that. So, yeah, definitely. So, you know, the journey is tough. The journey is very, very hard.
It is. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but it's doable. And the thing is, you have to want it. You have to
yeah.
want it. Because it's not going to be easy. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have flashbacks. You're going to have memories of certain things. You know, especially if you have kids, you're tied to this person. You know, so it's not easy, but with God, all things are possible. And that's what
that.
You need to most when you're trying to come out of a situation like this. It's just not easy, and so many people don't understand some of the things about domestic violence, even as simple as saying to somebody, I'm sorry for what you went through. Why are you sorry? I understand people don't or feel bad when somebody is hurt or something like that, but you didn't do anything wrong. It's certain terms and certain things that you just don't say to a victim because it also triggers them a lot of times, and people don't understand this, and this is why I like to teach on it and make videos about things so people can know. Yesterday I did a video I posted to Facebook of the do's and don'ts of things to say to a victim. And some things,
Can you share a little bit of
sure.
that?
Sure. One of the things that you want to do, a do, is acknowledge what they're going through. Listen to them. Be an
mm-hmm.
active listener. An active listener means while they're telling you, he's beating me, he pulls my hair out at night, just acknowledge it. Don't ask for explanation. Don't disagree with it. Don't, you know, try to reason with it. Don't blame. Don't judge them. Don't ever
mm-hmm.
try to talk to their abuser because that's only going to cause more harm for the victim. He's going to be mad
mm-hmm.
for one that she told their business. Now you got your neighbor or your girlfriend over here up in my face. So when she goes home, he's going to give it to her. You know, so we have to think about the repercussions that a victim will face when we do certain things. If you tell me that you're being beat And I said, well, I'm going over here and call the police on this joker right now. I don't care. I ain't scared of him. But you don't live here with him. You don't know what he's like. And then doing that, you call the police, he may kill her before the police get there. Now, I'm not saying in some instances you can do things anonymously, but you don't have to make it known verbally what you're doing, because that's hurtful. That's hurtful. If you want to do something for your neighbor, have a bag of clothes for her and her children. Have a prepaid debit card with some money on it, so when she does get away, she'll have some financial help. Have a hotel room maybe you can pay for a week or a couple of nights for her and her children. It's a lot of things that you can do without saying anything that nobody will know you're doing it. It's a lot of things you can do. But a lot of times, you know, if you tell someone, well, you're going to deal with this the rest of your life, that's not something good to say, because that, first of all, that's not going to give them any hope of a better life from what they've already lived. There is hope, and you may not necessarily deal with it all your life. You can take that bad thing and turn it around for good and use it in a positive manner like I'm doing. Yes, it was bad. I never want to go through that again or see anybody, for that matter, go through it. But what I went through was for me to help other people to avoid it. So we have to be careful how we talk to our friends that we feel like they may be going through something. And she say, well, girl, he cussed me out all the time. That's just how he is. But you know what? According to the Bible, love don't do that to you. Love does not
that.
Love treats
that's
you
right.
with kindness.
Right.
Love doesn't take those right. hands and hit you. Love would take those hands and comfort you. So as a woman, you have to know your worth. You have to know your worth as a woman, and then on what you will and will not accept. Because people can only do to you what you allow them to do. So in my journey, I took some blame because I allowed certain things, thinking I had to take it, not knowing I had a choice. And that's why I try to make women, people aware you have a choice. I'm not telling anybody, break up your marriage, get divorced. I would never tell anybody that, because another one of the don'ts is you don't give personal advice. Don't tell them what
that's
you
right.
would do. You haven't walked a mile in my shoes, so you don't know what you would do if this happened to you.
That's right.
You just, the main
so
thing
ask,
I do is, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to also ask that, you know, in this, we have to remember that children are, if you have children, that we need to be mindful of all of what you're saying, especially with the children as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. People think because the children aren't being physically hit, they're not being affected, but that is a lie. That is a lie. Children are definitely being affected. I'll speak for myself. I have three sons. They were affected. It affected them, for one, that their father wasn't around. It affected them as they got older in relationships with women. Two of my sons have experienced domestic violence from a female. So it
wow.
does affect them. Yes. And if you don't get help, if you don't get help for it, as they grow older, they're holding in anger, bitterness, they're not talking about it, and it's a build-up. So sometimes the least little thing could set them off, and it's not intentional, but when somebody pushes you up against the wall, the only alternative you have is to push back. And some women do that. Some women do that. Mm-hmm. Now, some men can refrain themselves, but if a female pushes a man up against the wall and is just punching him, he may grab her shoulders to stop her from coming at him, and sometimes things happen. What if she accidentally fell? Then he's definitely going to be charged, but he was only defending himself from her abuse.
So, yeah, yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, about your son, because that was for a long time a taboo conversation as well, that, you know, men also are abused as well. I believe the number,
yes.
and correct me if I'm wrong, one in seven
yes,
men are in domestic violence situations. So we need to, you know, just know the signs, be aware. And as I said earlier, you know, if you have that slightest that something's wrong, you know, trust me, something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Right.
So, and I'm glad to know that God has placed you on this path to take your life and allow it to be used to help others. So I am very, very excited about what you're doing in the community. So if I know you touched on it briefly. I know you mentioned that you do things with your church. What church is that you attend, and what are some of the things that you are doing to help in your church with this?
Well, I attend Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. A lot of the stuff I do is outside of the church. I'm connected with a ministry called nonprofit called FFT Helping Others, and what that is friends and family together, and we work in the community. We hold workshops, conferences, teachings. Before COVID, we just had one in February about knowing your worth. But it also taught, you know, a lot of times domestic violence victims have issues with finances. Once you become a victim and you have troubles, you may have trouble getting another apartment. So we had a speaker from Long and Foster there to tell about some of the things and how they work with victims of domestic violence to help them when their credit has been ruined. Navy Federal Credit Union was there to talk about how domestic violence victims can get a specific bank account to have money in. In October, permitting COVID, we have a domestic violence rally downtown on the Capitol. Last year they had one. That's when I had my surgery, but I wasn't there. But this year we were planning one again, but with COVID, we're probably going to have to cancel it. So just I volunteer at the domestic violence, I guess it's, well, shelter or house-like thing in ACT. They have children. They have groups, individual, adults, children. Just whatever I can do. If somebody mentions something and I'm available, I try to help out wherever I can, wherever is needed, wherever is needed.
Amen. 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 So that's fantastic. And so I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the upcoming women's conference. So, so this is an annual event, which we've done originally when Ellen Foundation started with the women's conference. It was just a women's empowerment conference. And what I like to share with people, you know, the women that come, and actually we've had men that have showed up, you know.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's good.
And, yeah. And one night a couple of years ago, I remember God was like, you need to change the name from, you know, Women's Empowerment Conference to God Remembers. So I'm like, well, why do I need to change it? And he was like, but then, you know, that's how I talk to God. It's like, you know, this is how I do. You know, we have in our conversation. And so let me tell you, once I changed the name from the Women's Empowerment Conference to God when God Remembers, it became an explosion. I mean, last year in itself, we had over 150 women in house for this. And and it was amazing. So many people were able to be relieved of a lot of burdens in which, you know, they've been carrying. And what I love about the fact of the name is that, you know, as we, and even just in looking in just briefly at your situation and, you know, and what your life happened, I mean, we all have stuff that happens, and there is a point
yes.
that we go through where it's like, God, why have you forgotten me? But what this event is about is that it is to remind people, men or women, that he
mm-hmm.
has not forgotten you. And
he has.
through this in the times is that he's pouring into you during this. So, and I'm really, really honored that you are available to be a part. And of course, due to COVID, we had to make some decisions and not make it an in-person because, you know, we want to make sure that the attendees and the speakers are safety first. So we're going to do this, you know, virtually. And I'm really, really excited because we're going to all, you know, the speakers are going to have time to share their thoughts for about 15, 20 minutes. And then we're going to roll into a panel. So how do you feel about being a part of this event? I'm so, so honored about the ladies this year who are going to be sharing their stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very excited about it. I'm honored and thankful that you reached out to me to be a part of it. And I was really looking forward to the in-person part. But, again, we know things can change in the blink of an eye. So we're still
mm-hmm.
going forward, and that's the whole thing. We have to do what we have to do, what God has told us we need to do, whether we have to change some things around and make some sacrifices, per se. But I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to sharing. I'm looking forward to hearing what the other ladies are going to share as well and just meeting these other women of God. So it's a big deal for me, and I'm excited about it. And just looking forward to it. Again, I always say I hope that the among the event that the people are blessed from what we bring together to give them. I just really looking forward to the people being blessed by us helping them remember when God remembers.
Amen. And, you know, and that's an important piece. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, during this, it was like, why, you know, why do I need to change? But God's love has empowered us through so many things. You know, when,
mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's got a story. And everybody has a story where they felt that God just wasn't there. And I wouldn't be telling the truth if I wasn't one. And, you know, if it was because of something I caused or if it was for something that somebody else caused, there were always, you know, there's been situations where I was like, Lord, why? And just pouring out. And at times I would be like, God, I you know, I'm not hearing you. Like, what's up? You know? Just being real tall. It's like, what's up? How come I can't hear you? But in
right.
this time.
But
you know, and that's just real, you know, and I'm just going to do a sidebar really, really quick, you know, and when I talk about God's love and how, you know, my conversations with God, they just like you and I, and, you know, my best friends, we sit here talking, and because a lot of times when leaders are sharing about God and his mercies, they become so pretentious about, you know, and holier than thou, where it really is. And it's just a conversation about how God loves you and how he talks to you, you know, and it's people make it so spooky, but it's not spooky at all. So, you know, so I just have to sidebar that. Because that's how we talk, you know, because I know that you know, there's some people out there that know the Bible from cover to cover. I don't, You know, I mean, I do. I know kind of where versus. You know what I mean? So we just being real here, and that's what I love about the ladies that and that have come before you and who are on this panel is that this is going to be real talk about God's love.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and there's no nothing. We just gonna be real talk, real conversation about this. So, you know, just really quick, when God remembers, what does that mean to you?
When God remembers, to me, that means, although, like you said, sometimes when we are going through something and we don't think he's there, that we have to remember to trust him even when we can't trace him. And I think when that happens, he's doing something in us to build us up. We know he's with us every day and every step of the way, but when we go through troubles and trials and tribulations, he needs us to get something from it. So I think sometimes, just like a teacher in school, he has to, the teacher steps back and just watches. They don't say anything. They watch to see what we're going to do. And I think God does the same thing. He wants us to grow, because if you don't go through anything, you're not going to know his goodness if you don't go through any suffering, any trials and tribulations.
Right.
James 1 and 2 say, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. So God wants
to see
how we're going to act when we feel like he's not there. He's there, but when we feel like he's not there, he wants to see what we're going to do. Are we still going to praise him? Are we still going to declare his word? Are we still going to speak his promises and the goodness? Or are we going to sulk and have pity party and say, oh, God ain't nothing. I thought he had my back. I thought he said he'd never leave me. So he wants to see what we're going to do in those times. But he's always with us, is that he wants us to grow. So sometimes we have to be in a place down in the valley a little bit. We got to be down in the valley a little bit. We're not always on top of the mountain. We're not always.
That's right.
But when we're in that valley, you don't stay there. You don't stay there. He wants you to get up, dust your boots off, and then keep climbing. That's what he wants us to do. So I think when God remembers, he's going to remember when I didn't have any money in that bank account, I ate that rice that I had in the house, and I did not complain. He wants us to remember when you didn't have no job and somehow your girlfriend told you about a job and they hired you the next day. When God remembers, we were obedient about certain things, that we continue to do what he wants us to do despite what we see. When he remembers that, that's what he wants from us. That's what he wants from us. He wants to see that even when it's not, when you don't have the bank account say minus 000, he still want to say, I thank, get up this
that's
morning
right.
and thank God. I thank
that's
God
right.
this morning.
That's, right.
that's what he that's when right. he remembers, he wants to remember that time. When my car wasn't working and I had to catch the bus for 6 months, he want to remember that I wasn't complaining, that I could still get to work on the bus. That's what he wants from us. When I hear when God remembers, it's about how we continue to treat him when we can't trace him, even though he's always there.
Girl, you're going to have me up here jumping. Keep on going, girl. but you're absolutely right.
Speaking from the heart, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. And I have to remind myself daily that he is here with me. He is here with me. One of my friends, evangelist Pastor Linda Cooper, does these declarations every morning. And the other day I thought I missed her, and I was like, oh, my God, I missed it. And I had to go back and watch the replay. But I was actually telling my Bible professor, Dr. Loretta, today that that helps me. Because when we can say out our mouth, I am healed, God has healed me, even though I got pain in the shoulder daily, I'm not claiming that. I'm claiming that he has healed me.
So
even though I can't see it, I'm believing what he is doing for me. And it may take some time. Nothing happens overnight, and it's in his timing. But those declarations give me a sense of strength to what I'm going through, as opposed to me sitting here just crying, oh, I can't do this because my shoulder hurt. I can't do that because my shoulder hurt. At one time, I couldn't even lift my arm up to take myself to the bathroom. So I'm grateful today that I can lift my arms over my head and still give him a praise.
That's right.
So when God remembers, in all my pain, I wasn't complaining. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants to remember.
That's right. Gosh, I can't even, girl, you got me ready. I am so ready. But so people want to connect with you and just continue this conversation and just talk about what you're doing and how to get involved in the work that you're doing. How can people reach you?
They can reach me on Facebook under Trisha, T-R-I-S-H-A Fowler. They can reach me on Instagram at Evangelist Trisha. Excuse me, I'm also on Twitter as Evangelist Trisha. Or they can go to my website, www.pureheart-ministries.com. Or they can give me a call at
504. Give it one more time. Give it one more time.
www.pureheart-ministries.com. Or they can just give me a call at 540-272-6150.
It's been such a blessing. And family, I'm really looking forward. As you can see, this woman is filled with me. She's ready. And it's such a joy to I love talking about what God has done when God takes you and removes you out of a situation where sometimes, you know, we think that there's no way out of it, and he takes our pains and our miseries and everything about that and turns it around and turns it into a ministry where we can stand up and speak and allow that to be a helping piece, a helping tool for everyone. So I commend you for walking into what God has called you to do. And because, you know, a lot of times when we're called, when people are called, they run, because once they see like, oh, this is too much work. But
exactly.
That you didn't lose heart, that you didn't faint, you didn't give up, but you continue to press through. And you know what people need to understand, that as a nonprofit, that or any ministry, that you know it's some like anything, you know, there's some good times and there's some bad times, but through it all, you continue to press your way through, and you continue to share what God has done in your life to help people become whole. So I applaud
Amen.
You for that. I applaud
Thank you
so
much.
So family, you know, for those of you who, excuse me, that are listening in and you know someone that is going through a domestic violence situation, or you are in a domestic violence situation, most important thing is to dial 911 and to get immediate help. I know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with police and community, but that's all fine and good. But if you are listening to this and you are in a domestic violence situation, please, please, please dial 911, get some help. Or you can call the helpline, the national helpline, which is 800-799-7233. Again, the national hotline is 800-799-7233. You know, if you are not certain, if you don't know, if you are in a domestic violence situation or someone you know, feel free to reach out to Evangelist Fowler. and just contact her. And if you don't remember how to contact her, just reach out to Ellen Foundation. You can shoot us an email at info@thelmfoundation.org. Again, that's info@thelmfoundation.org. You can follow us on Instagram, send us a message, Instagram and Twitter. It's our handle is Ellen Foundation One, and on Facebook it's Life Ministry Foundation. Evangelist Fowler, before we call it a day, you have any last words for us?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity for having me. I'm looking forward to the virtual conference. And again, if there's anyone out there that's going through domestic violence, please reach out and get some help. And one other mm-hmm. main important thing is that your safety is the most important thing. Your safety for
yes.
yourself and your children. That's more important than, you know, your children's father being in their life, your husband and all those things. Your life is not replaceable. And that's the important thing to remember, and that you are not alone. Trust me, you are not
mm-hmm.
alone. There's so many people that's being silent for shame and many other reasons, just like I once was, but thanks be to God, now I can speak up and speak out, and I will continue to until there's no breath in my body. But so if you need
Amen
help, please reach out. Please reach out.
Amen. Amen. Family, join us tomorrow. We have the CEO from Stillborn and Infant Law Support Sales. Is the acronym for that. The CEO is Adesia Smiley. I can't talk. I don't know. I'm all talked out here. But please join in tomorrow evening at 6:30. And her story is she's no stranger to Unheard Voices. Her story is phenomenal. And as a matter of fact, Ellen Foundation will be raising funds for this organization, Stillborn and Infant Law Supports. And this is helping families who have lost an infant. So join us tomorrow. God bless you guys. Patricia, Evangelist Patricia
yes, ma'am.
Fowler, God bless you. Looking forward
and
to
bless you as well.
Family, have a great
yes.
afternoon. We'll connect with you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Ma'am. You do the same. Bye-bye, and thank you again.